that gave me this money.
You're actually welcome. As a consequence of developments that have occurred since we met with the bank in May, where the bank's lines of reporting were changed at the level of the executive. So the consequence was that for us to be able to complete the oversight cycle, we agreed together with the Portfolio Committee on Finance to have a joint hearing. And going forward, we'll have to deal with that particular reality. We've got only 2 hours. We had anticipated that we would also have a joint hearing with SCOPA, because hereafter Tim Landbank must go and appear before SCOPA. But already there was a pre-arrangement on their side to talk to Home Affairs from 9 o'clock up till 11. So it would be greatly appreciated if we could be able to manage the issue of time quite judiciously. So with me, the acting chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Finance, Honorable Muloto. So we'll stay the ship together up until we excuse you. I'm sure he should be a familiar face, particularly to the acting CEO. Yeah. So, without any waste of time, Professor Van Schalkwyk and Pakaman, I'm not sure who's going to do the introductions on your side. Let's do introductions and then quickly proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Chairman. I would first like to introduce the team. I'm Herman van Schalkwyk, the acting chairperson. Next to me is Mr. Joe Mutumunye, the chair of the audit committee. Mr. Pakamani Khadebe, the interim CEO. Then Delani Lambrecht, she's the head of the cleanup team. And this, then Mr. Jaco du Plessis on the far end there. He is the interim CFO. And then Mr. Vincent Potwane, the treasurer, next to Mrs. Delani Lambrecht. Chairman, on behalf of the board and management of Landbank, I would like to express our unreserved appreciation for taking your time to see us here today. And we would like to thank you, because in the past, the inputs that have been made in gatherings like this has had a major impact on how we implement the decisions and did our business. While this is true, we also know that the bank is still facing many challenges, and that these challenges have been coming over the last 4 years. And we also know that we have made commitments which unfortunately we did not meet. And therefore the appropriate point of departure for us will be to accept this and beg you not to lose faith in us. But we would like to show you that the Land Bank has finally made a turnaround. Notwithstanding this, we will be the third ones to accept that the road ahead is still full with challenges. The survival to date of the Land Bank is due to the support that the Land Bank enjoys from government. And this involves interventions such as a guarantee that we have received from government, a cash injection, the advice on policy by the parliamentary committees, and the financial oversight by SCOPA. Without such interactions, Land Bank will not be still existing by now. But we would not like to sound like we're blowing our own horns, but we would like to inform you at the end of this presentation also today, you will pick up that we've really achieved a couple of successes, and I would just like to highlight a couple of them. First of all, and we're very excited about this, the turnaround strategy has been completed and it has been approved by the board. And this has now been sent to the shareholder and the Minister of Finance for approval. And John, I think it's also important at this point to highlight the fact that this strategy focuses on the development as core to the Land Bank's business. And this is the first time the Land Bank has adopted such a strategy since the promulgation of the Land Bank Act of 2002. We've also arrived at the conclusion that for the bank to turn around, it needs to stop the bleeding. And we have agreed on this and how it should be done. And therefore we started this cleanup process to stabilize the bank. We therefore formulated a strategy to ensure that the bank is financially stable. And we will also explain this. We also note that this can only be achieved if we improve our human resources capacity and enhance our IT system. Now, I know that you've heard this before, and we'd like to show you how we will achieve these promises. And we would also like to show you that this time it is different. Except for now, the Land Bank strategy, turnaround strategy, has never been approved by the Land Bank Board. I would like to highlight a couple of points in terms of this turnaround strategy. First of all, it does not come from consultants, but from a partnership between the board, the management, and the shareholder. We want to ensure that everyone is accountable, as this was always missing at the Land Bank. We have adopted a bottom-up approach, which ensures ownership in this process. And for the first time, this process involved everyone at the bank, also at the branches. And it has been presented to all. We've also used some of our stakeholders, such as our investors, clients, government departments, banks, etc. And we have yet to meet those who disagree with our strategy. We've also set up a dashboard that will be on our website for everyone to evaluate whether we are meeting our goals. And we will show our performance through our website during the periods of 31 December, 30 March and 30 September 2009. To prove that we are on the right direction, I would like to highlight that we have begun to benefit from the application of the cleanup and stabilization during the past 3 months. And the discussion and presentation that will be made will show that we have formulated the development policy framework, that some of our cleanups have been done on audit reports, forensic audits, etc. And we will also show that the bank is more stable. And this is shown by the liquidity position, the maturity of our loans, which are lengthened. More investors are buying our paper. The cost of income is decreasing. The balance sheet is improving. And we are also in the process of disposing the LDFUs. And more qualified people, and this is very encouraging, are now willing to join the bank. Mr. Chairman, this has all been achieved in 3 months, 3 to 4 months. And I think that is quite an achievement and something for which the board has great appreciation in terms of what the management has achieved. We will answer your questions, and we hope that you will agree with us that finally the Land Bank is in the right direction. Mr. Chairman, you will note that on our presentation it says presentation to SCOPA. That is because of your opinion, or we thought that this will be a joint presentation. I thank you very much.
CEO. Thank you so much, Chair. We appreciate the opportunity. I think that as the team is starting to work out the IT stuff, okay, then we can start. I was going to present. I think we all have the hard copies of your presentation, so it should not be a problem.
No, that's great.
Yeah, we can follow it from there.
Chair, thank you so much. I just want, as a point of departure, to start by indicating that the problems that are currently experienced by the Land Bank are not new problems. They are not problems that started a year back, 2 years, 4 years back, or so, or five. These are problems that started about 11, 12 years back. The balance sheet started there deteriorating. The financial situation started there deteriorating. And the development as core to business was ignored at that time. The level of skills and the structure of the organization had problems there. But that was allowed over time by different layers. You know, could be management, non-executive management, government as a shareholder. All of us have had a role to play here. And unfortunately, it arrived at a stage where it's no longer sustainable. That is a point of departure. I would like to also highlight that the Land Bank should survive, and South Africans, and we owe it to the South Africans, poverty, unemployment, job creation, that Land Bank goes back to where it should be. And we will indicate that a lot of work has been put in achieving that, and the numbers that you're going to get a true reflection of our goals.
So perhaps if you can just pull the mic closer.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry about that. Could we move, please? You see, that's exactly the current situation at the Land Bank. It reaches a crisis point, and we have to maintain it. But we have to understand the Land Bank from two fronts. One is the issues that the Land Bank had been doing. That's a strategy. And on the other side is the issues of execution, how the Land Bank was supposed to execute the strategy. And of course, when you run through the Land Bank, you know, there's only 4% of the total book in development. So the first thing that you pick up is that there's been limited progress on development objectives. This, which is point number two, ignores the recommendations that were made, or the proclamation by the Land Bank Act of 2002. It highlights five important things. It highlights one, agricultural entrepreneurship. It highlights rural development. It talks about food security. It talks about commercial farming subsistence. I mean, commercial farming cross subsidizing. Then the fifth one, it then talks about. Okay, I will remember the fifth one. The fifth one, it talks about food, the land reform. Those are all the things that the land bank was supposed to be directly involved in, and it has not. And unfortunately, at that point, is that no clear funding and financial stability strategy. Let me make an example, Chair. The land bank, up until a couple of weeks back or a couple of months back, could only borrow up until 3 months. And unfortunately, because of that, it means there was a huge mismatch between the asset side and the liability side. We were therefore reliant on investors on day-to-day basis for us to sustain that. But this is not something new. This is not something that comes in 2 months or 2 years back. For some time, the land bank has had problems. The market has had a problem of allowing the investments by the land bank at the longer end, and we needed to interact at that time. Then we have this model that is very uncompetitive, and we'll talk about that. There's very high cost, and our competition with the banks especially is it's non-existent. They are going to beat us, and they'll continue to do so, and we'll show the numbers. Just on high cost, the cost-to-income ratio of the land bank is about 85. We'll show that we have brought it down for some time now, against what maybe should be roughly 60, 65 or so. But if you are talking about a bank, we are not a bank, we are looking at 55. Maybe 65, 68 or so would make sense. So it means sometimes we are borrowing to maintain the operational efficiencies and operations of the land bank. Now, these are challenges in the strategy, but the execution, the people and capacity issues remain unresolved. In the past 2 years, Land Bank has had about five acting CEOs. If you take it further to about 6 years, there have been about 10. Then you have boards. There have been, in the past 2 years, there have been two boards, but if you put another 2 years, we'll have about 3.5 or so, because one was changed. So there's not been any consistency. And unfortunately, even currently as we talk, at GM level, general management level, 70% of the positions are vacant, and we have acting people. Now, we have an option, and we'll talk about that. We had an option of getting people and putting them in with appropriate skills and think that they'll hit the ground running. But the best option was to get assistance from some of the DFIs that government owns, like IDC, like DBSA, and also to source those skills, so that firstly, we have the structure and we have the strategy approved before we can start on appointing the people at those positions, and we opted for the latter. Substantial evidence, again, which execution is that core business has totally been ignored. And management processes, and as a result of that, managed processes are not where they're supposed to be. The qualified audit report during the past 2 years gives a clear example on that. But the worst part about the qualified report that we got is that these things have been coming on time after time. For the past 4 or 5 years, the land bank has been getting almost the same issues, be it the management letter, be it the audit report, but no effort was made in dealing with that. And we're going to show to the committee today that we have put in place the system that will deal with that, and we have results to show that. The organizational structure of the land bank, from 2001, if you look at the books, deteriorated. But even in 1994, it was around people, not on the strategy. That is why we felt that first the board has to prove the strategy before we can take it forward. And I'm happy to say we have spoken to the DG of the National Treasury, we have spoken to the DG of Land Affairs, and the DG of Agriculture, just to be in line and in sync with the objectives, to understand what government wants to put in agriculture and the policy, and what we are putting in, and understand the financial scenarios that we have going forward. So all these things have been done, but because of the mismatch between these two, unfortunately, the loan book continues to decline. At some stage, our loan book was sitting about 20 billion. That was 4 or 5 years back. currently sitting about 14 billion and it's depreciating. We have very high non-performing loans. We are looking at about 30% in the past 2-3 months' time. We have tried to bring it down because the institution is not sustainable. Capital adequacy, taking out the government guarantee, is 11.18. That means that our cost is very high and we are not sustainable. Hence the government guarantee, which has helped us. So because of all these challenges and environment we have been operating under, we felt that the first thing we need to do, and I hope the committees here will agree with us, is to assure all the stakeholders that we are in the right direction, and we'll explain that. And we will want, or we will request, that there be a tracking and governance structure at the land bank so that you will know whether we are able to achieve this. And accordingly, as Chair has already indicated, we have put in the dashboard for the 31st of December, 30th of March, and 30th of September. We will show, we will indicate to everyone interested, these are things we're going to achieve and how far have we performed, and we'll be as clear and as precise as possible. The recovery milestones, that's what we're talking about today, but the support from stakeholders, okay? We have had support, you know, from different stakeholders. We have had support from investors that are beginning to come in and the situation is better. We've had support from our clients that were leaving us, now they are coming back. We have good relationships and interaction with the officials from agriculture, from land affairs, and from the National Treasury. And this is the base within which we can operate. Now, we have put on the turnaround strategy. We wanted to highlight and indicate that turnaround strategies at the land bank have been done before. And they share almost the same thing. But what was lacking was ownership and accountability. And that is the officials maybe did not see it fit to undertake such activities, or they were not made to account for the failure to do so. We just picked up a couple of them. The first one is 05, the McKinsey report. Then we took up the DFI review that was done under Treasury, but on behalf of Cabinet. Then we took, there's one that was done by Land Bank, Exco last year. Then we just want to indicate what we have done on those. There are two important things that come up. That all the papers, all the research that's been done, highlight that we have to move to development. Both McKinsey, the DFI, and the Land Bank Exco. Then again, that we need to implement the last point, that we need to implement the risk management. What we did was to take all this things and analyze and see whether it's still relevant and draw our own turnaround strategy with our consultants. And you'll see, Chair, that we have put and answered all the questions on the strategy that we put today as to what we have done. But it's not just a strategy and a dream going forward. We'll also indicate what we have achieved. Could we proceed, please? Now, we said it's either the land bank reviews its operation and it does what it's supposed to be doing as a DFI, or the land bank should close the door, go to the Minister of Agriculture and say, Minister of Agriculture, we have to form something else, or go to DBSA, we can't deliver, or go to Treasury, Minister of Finance, here are the keys. Because we can't compete with the banks. If we are looking at what we are doing, on the product, ours are very limited. The banks have far better products. Of the people that are working for the banks are the ex-employees of the land, and they are beating us on that. On the price, they are beating us. On service delivery, sometimes we take 3-4 months for approval. The banks, at the touch of a button, they can move quickly and move. And they have agri expertise have shifted from the land bank to the bank. And the channels, you have mobile interaction, we have all the systems. Ours are still manual. Now, we need to deal with this. But what it highlights again is that we need to do what we're supposed to do in the first place, is to create ourselves a niche. And that niche is development. And that's what we'll explain. Now, this is the substantial evidence that core business management processes are not in place. I'm not going to go over it. You know, on the right, development mandate not adhered to, cumulative audit, management letter, 194 pages, the cleanup here, Delaney will explain, internal and audit reports, forensic investigations, we can talk about that, scope of resolutions, conditions of government guarantee, portfolio committee undertakings, consolidation of policies. In one way or the other, in all these things, we have failed in achieving them. But we are turning a corner, and we'll show that we have done quite a lot. Now, this is what is going to take the land bank forward. as far as we are concerned, and that has been approved by the board now. The first thing is we need to change and become a development-focused institution that is informed by the mandate as per 2002 Land Bank Act. Of course, for us to move to this level, we will request government intervention in one way or the other. But we can, before, we can move the land bank forward and implement what is written here as strategic execution pillars. The yellow part there, the partnership and stakeholder relations, the people and skills strategy, the funding and financial sustainability strategy, the management system and operating model and strategy. We need to stop the bleeding of the institution. And we are going to report today that we have started doing so, and the financial story, as my chair has already indicated, is much better. How do we do so? We need to deal with the legacy issues. Some of them started years back, 6-7 years back, and they've been allowed to accumulate, and they have bigger weight now on our story, on our finances. So we will explain what cleanup means. Dylan here on my right, sorry, will explain that. Then we'll talk about stabilization. How do we stabilize the institution, be it financial or operational? Vincent will explain that. But finally, we will then go to the strategic execution of what we call sustainability. That is what each and every company does. Each and every company at the end of the year can have a three-year program. It says this is our vision, that is what we're going to do. As a land bank, unfortunately, we are not in a position yet to do so. We need to clean up before we can go in there. But understanding and noting that what we've decided to do is to bring in the team to put in the systems and ensure that while we are cleaning up and stabilizing, we're also working on that. And of course, all of this will depend on the compliance and risk management, governance and management, which we've put in systems now. There's no one who has powers to sign any or approve any loan except the systems and policies that we have, the committees. I don't have any power to sign even a rand. That goes through the committees. No one has power to question the decision of the committee. All those things, you know, were there. But for some time, at some stage, individuals within the bank became more powerful than the controls that were there. And unfortunately, those controls were ignored. And the staff at the land bank ignored that. They turned a blind eye on things that should have highlighted. So there's no one who has power now. Not at GM, not at the chair, not at the board, but it goes through the right processes. But at least we have been assisted by the DBSA and by the IBC to bring in the skills necessary for us to operate at that level without paying, if I'm mistaken. Okay. Now, development is mainstreaming. You know, we've been talking about development every time, but what is development? We are going to define what development is, quantify and show how it should be monitored. And when we talk about development, we have to mainstream it. Currently, a number of institutions talk development. They see development as calling 100 black people on the site and give them 1 million each, and you say that's development. We don't see development that way. We see it as mainstreaming. That is, in different levels of the land bank, they should be part of development. Let me make an example. Land bank has, the powers of the land bank are more on raising funding. Then you have clients, our clients that will come and borrow that money. If we're serious about development, we should then have a service level agreement with them that a certain percentage of that should go to development. And we have to monitor and we have to define and quantify development. So the mainstreaming of development therefore means that in as much as we find out here a development fund, development doesn't end there. It goes through the whole systems of the land bank. Transformation again, emerging farmers, a new entrance, upholding land and agrarian reform principles. That's what we're going to do. We'll be meeting with the two DGs of agriculture and land affairs, and we'll be discussing this because for some time there were no close synergies between what the land bank is doing and what agriculture is doing. We have to be informed by the policy of the country before we can implement. Innovation. We're not being innovative at all. Actually, that's a problem. We are relying on interest income. You can't win with the banks on interest income. You need to win on the product. And we are not producing any product whatsoever. We are forcing the very marginalized people to have some kind of capital for them to survive. Now, there are options that we can look into. The first one and the obvious one is land reforms, Minister. We have a lot of land reform that's been coming in. and there are large chunks of land. If the land bank can come in with a certain amount of money to put in fertilizer and to put in the seeds. And when we spoke to Department of DVSA, DVSA puts in the infrastructure. Then we get the skills from outside, if we don't have, that will work with the farmer. Then we will have achieved quite a lot, and that's what we are looking into. Currently, the land bank, we give the money, we stop there. Then we are on your own, then we expect later that after a year or so, depending on what you're producing, you'll be a good farmer and you'll be able to deliver. That's a problem. We need to go with you all the way. We better spend more money reducing non-performing loans than having such high impairments. And that's what we're going to do. But that means, in the short to medium term, we rely on partnerships. Partnerships with other agricultural players that can assist us in that. And I must say that we had a discussion with cooperatives that was Tuesday. And we highlighted that at some stage the relationship between us has to change. And that is the manner and the way they operate is not where it should be because we're a development institution. And no one objected to that, so we're looking into it. The foundation of long-term development should be there. Rural development should be a main focus. Now, I've touched on this, you know, that what have we done? You know, we have established agricultural development committee. We're launching emerging farmer support, but we'll talk with the Department of Agriculture. And 5-7 years incubation, that's what agriculture is talking about, we'll be working closely. Provide development indicators. That's the most important thing, so that we'll be measured and be judged by everyone whether we're doing this. And the management system. At board level, we're going to have a committee on development, so that even at board level, that is measured. And the monitoring system, we're working on that and tracking, and we'll come back and report most probably. And we need partnerships with all kinds, with all the institutions, primarily our policy, our chief policy makers, the departments of land affairs and agriculture. And we need to establish a land bank development foundation. That's a dream, that's what we're looking, the principles I've already spoken about. Now, how is this going to be achieved? In a short to medium term, that is 0 to 7 years, we are going to form more partnerships with agribusiness and stakeholders. That is hand-holding. We're avoiding relying on interest rate. That's the most important thing. I wanted to talk about avoiding interest rate. Once we get farmers, if you're able to build that land reform structure in a manner and the way that DBSA and land bank comes in, then the people that own the land don't necessarily need to give you money, but you get a certain percentage of their output as their income or as a source of benefit for the institution. That is what production is all about, and that's what we're looking about. In the long term, medium to long term, 7 to 10 years or 20 years, we see a land bank becoming a real DFI with a wider footprint across the country, one-stop agricultural shop. That means that we will have more branches around South Africa. But the first thing is that relationship, that stakeholder interaction for us to build that capacity. Currently, we are concentrating at the head office and less at the branches. It's the other way around. Business is at the branches. So we should be cutting here and build the right skills at the branches. Now, what has been the achievement as far? Land bank turnaround strategy has been approved. Development is called there. Chair has already indicated. We have developed, we have already formulated development policy framework. It's been approved again. We have established a development committee. We have identified pilot projects. We have communicated to branches. We have engaged with stakeholders, banks, clients, departmental and national governments, agriculture and land affairs. Now we are targeting farm organizations, and we are in the process of establishing those partnerships. But the turnaround, while development, excuse me, as a strategy makes sense, but we need to look at the turnaround. How then do you arrive at the level where the bank would be able to do this thing? This is what we're going to do. The first phase will be a cleanup, as I've already indicated, that Delany will present. That is the land bank operating within government guidelines. And she will tell us what cleanup exactly means. This will go hand in hand with stabilization, stabilizing the financial operations. This will go up until September next year, and we think that we should have done. This, in a nutshell, highlights what we call quick wins, things that need to be done for institutions to survive now. Then, phase 3, the sustainability will be done over by Yaku, and we'll explain what you mean. And I think I will leave it to Delaney to explain.
The three phases of turnaround is distinct, but very much interlinked. I think the cleanup is not just about fixing the problems of the land bank, but it's contributing to stabilization in the short to medium term, and in paving the way to sustainability in the longer term. If we focus on cleanup on the left, there's a number of sources that drive the cleanup of the bank. First and most importantly, it's the 2008 audit report matters. I mean, the land bank had 7 qualifications in 2008 year, and 12 other matters. And that is the immediate priority of the cleanup team, with the objective of a cleaner audit opinion by the 31st of March 2009.
Sarah Dillon, let's switch off the mic next to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next matter we're dealing with is the external auditors, the AG's management report. As the CEO has indicated, a lengthy document with a lot of findings for a number of years, and I mean there was just a lack of action. It's not rocket science things in that management report. It's like putting action plans together and dealing with the issues to address them. We're also dealing with the internal audit report matters, so the control weaknesses, to make sure that's addressed as part of the cleanup. I think a significant or an important root cause for the land bank over the years was the lack and approval of approved and operational policies, procedures and practices. And that is a significant focus that we will be focusing on as part of the cleanup. As you know, there's been a number of forensic investigations over the last 18 to 24 months, and that resides in the office of the CFO, but we track that to make sure that the recommendations of those forensic reports are being dealt with. If I recall there was some FISA fraud around 2 years ago. That report has been handed over to the relevant authorities, and I mean, summons are being served on people, and there's good progress. The CEO can report on that. This was the Land for Development Unit loan investigation done at the end of the 2007 calendar year. That report is also with the relevant authorities for action, and the CEO is working closely with the police and the Scorpions on that report. There was also system implementation irregularities in the last financial year, which is a qualification in the audit report. That report as well has been with the relevant authorities. You can hear, I mean, the land bank is now, I mean, we're doing the right thing. It's about zero tolerance and dealing with the recommendation made by those that did the investigations. What is currently ongoing is the investigation into the whistleblowing allegations reported in the financial statements of 2008, and the investigation has been extended to further probity. So all the forensic matters of the last 24 months are now currently actively dealt with by relevant authorities. Then there's a number of SCOPA resolutions that have been made in the past which hasn't been dealt with. Part of the cleanup will be to make sure that over a period of time those SCOPA resolutions are dealt with. Some of them are more challenging. It's got to do with the systems of the land bank. But I mean, there must be a solution for that, and we need to make sure that that gets addressed in the medium to long term. Then we've got a 1.5 million rand government guarantee with certain conditions which we need to meet. The cleanup team will also make sure that that we monitor that the land bank meets those conditions. And then the land bank over time makes commitments to the portfolio, or undertakings to the portfolio committees, and part of the cleanup will make sure that we report back to the portfolio committees on the progress on the undertakings that we have made.
Sorry, Chair. Let me just highlight. Delaney is working for Ernst & Young, and she was auditing the land bank for the past 5 years. The contract came to an end, and we went to the Auditor General because we needed a person who has a clear understanding of the challenges the land bank is facing. We explained to the Auditor General, and the Auditor General was happy that she joins us to come now and assist us in cleaning up the mess.
Then if you look at the three pillars there, real turnaround of the land bank can only start after the cleanup and stabilization. And the real success thereof is underpinned by the strength of the people, system and processes. And we recognize that is currently a significant challenge in the land bank. But this is exactly the focus of the cleanup and stabilization, to deal with the people, systems and processes challenges of the past. The audit opinion of the Auditor General for the 31 March 2009 financial period will cover the 12 months, 1 April 2008 to 31 March 2009. Hence, the cleanup can't just focus on, you know, from now moving forward. We are looking back. So our effort starts on 1 April 2008, where we are verifying transactions in terms of validity, completeness, and accuracy and PSMA compliance. And we are also constructing a paper audit trail to make sure that the transactions are supported. I mean, that was a significant challenge of the audits of last year, that there just wasn't any paper audit trail to draw conclusions on, and in terms of the reasonableness of the financial statements and the balances therein. We are finding shortcomings in terms of documentation and authorization, and we deal with those as we move along. We also, irregularities also pass our table in terms of, if I use an example, claiming of travel expenses outside the policy, and we deal with that in an appropriate manner to make sure, in terms of the PSMA, the Land Bank does the right thing in terms of those contraventions. Then looking forward into the future, we will facilitate the update and existing and drafting of new policies. As I say, an important root cause of the past that wasn't addressed. If you don't have approved policies that is operational and can be monitored with zero tolerance, you're not going to go a long way in terms of your overall control environment. We will continue to maintain a paper audit trail until the end of March to facilitate the audit of the Auditor General. And then, what is important is our relationship with the Auditor General and scope and the committees we deal with, and we will play a role in that also moving forward. Like I said, the immediate priority of the cleanup team, there's a lot to do, but our immediate priority is the audit report matters, as contained in the 31 March 2008 financial statement, and our objective is a cleaner audit report by the 31st of March 2009. It won't be an unqualified report. There are matters that, it's not going to be addressed by the 31st of March 2009, but we surely hope that if we achieve what we set ourselves to do, that there will be a lot of matters removed from the audit report, purely in terms of the action plans that we've implemented. Just to give you an idea on where we are in terms of the cleanup, as I said, our efforts are focused on the audit report matters. So we've detailed here what are we doing from a payroll perspective, procurement, funds under administration, and then a number of PSMA non-compliance matters. As we move along, we probably will still find surprises. Stuff that we're aware of as a possible pay-as-you-earn exposure that has been communicated to the SARS, so the Land Bank is putting a plan in place with voluntary disclosure in terms of the matter and investigation to make sure that we pay SARS what we owe them. Same with VAT, we're playing open cards and to make sure that whatever we need to do from a financial statement perspective and a sound financial base, we are doing that.
Thank you, Delaney. I'm dealing with stabilization. We have identified about six areas that we believe if we can focus on, we will hopefully stabilize the bank within a reasonable period of time. I'm dealing with issues that we have identified within each area. On human resources, what we have identified is that the bank's performance system and management system has been quite lax, and we have immediately put our attention on this matter, and I will show you in the progress report on how far we are with this matter where we are on this particular issue. The second issue on our human resource challenges that will enable us to stabilize the bank is recruitment, and meaning that we have to fill all the critical vacancies that we have in the bank. I think we have about 114, and I will indicate in the progress report how much of those vacancies have been filled thus far. If we look at the IT aspect of our weaknesses, we have undertaken that we have to ensure an adequate step finance and procurement system. There have been problems in the bank on audit availability of audit history on transactions, compliance to PFMA, and also I think the bank does not have a banking system at the moment. As it is now, the bank undertook to implement SEPs a couple of years ago. A certain amount of money has been spent on the system, but up to today the bank does not whether the appropriateness of either continuing with SEP and what will be the cost associated with that, or look at the alternatives and what may be the cost of the associated with those particular alternative banking systems. The other issue is our implementation still in SEP of segregation of duties. We are saying that we would like to segregate between people who place orders and those who pay within the bank, because one person cannot place an order and also make a payment for that particular order. The other two issues, the chief executive has highlighted that the bank currently has cost income ratio of about 85%. We have identified about five issues that we believe will enable us to begin to reduce our cost to income ratio to normal acceptable levels for development finance institutions of our nature. And those particular ratios will enhance the bank's sustainability moving forward. On the other side, the chief executive has already said that we have been under pressure for quite some time. We have only had money for 3 months in the market. We have identified four issues that we have to look at, which are, we have to improve our liquidity position, lengthen our maturity profile, minimize our short-term refinancing risk, and increase our overall and issue more instruments into the market. I will show a public report slide on how far we are with these particular issues. The one other important thing that has identified to contribute to the stabilization of the bank is the disposal of the land for development finance transactions which are outside of the mandate of the Land Bank in terms of the Land Bank Act. What we have done is the following. We are already negotiating across the board with all the parties that the bank lends money to in this particular transaction. We hope that there will be any resolution on some of the loans, and we have actually put a target of about 25% that we expect that will be settled in this particular transaction, which are outside of the mandate of the Land Bank, before the end of this financial year, running by 31st March 2009. We also hope and have an expectation that by the end of financial year 2009-10, our objective or expectation is that in the five of these transactions, which are outside of the mandate, and we can hopefully have an unqualified audit report. The last thing that we are looking at on stabilization is our balance sheet. The chief executive indicated that our balance sheet has deteriorated significantly throughout the period of time. And we identified that another contributor to this deterioration is the high level of our non-performing loans. We have identified key non-performing loans that will be known by enhance our sustainability or the quality of our balance sheet. We say the different business areas, we in the corporate finance market, we are already involved in negotiations and some of the non-performing loans in that particular business unit are in the progress of being settled. We have a target of about 75%, but we are optimistic that by the end of this financial year, which is 2008-09, or the end of March 2009, we will be in a position to have recovered about 75% of those non-performing loans. And the majority of the non-performing loans in terms of amount are within that particular corporate finance unit. Now for development, I've already said that we are quite optimistic. We do believe that before the end of this financial year, about 25% of those particular transactions which were outside of the mandate will not have recovered. And the process has started, as I've indicated. The two other business units, we have some non-performing loans and retail. In terms of amounts and the impact on our balance sheet, they are not that substantial. However, we have also accounted on legal substantial. And we can also touch the probability of by when or by how much we think we have recovered accounts in legal, because there are legal processes involved. Courts have to sit and decide on these matters. fly, this is the slide of some of the progress that we have already achieved in stabilizing the bank. For the sake of time, I'll just repeat about two areas. On funding dynamics, we are happy to report to the committee that our liquidity has improved significantly. As of yesterday, we are sitting on a cash amount of 2.6 billion. That confirms the fact that investors are being willing to be more amenable to the bank. Some of the investors which have left the bank are coming back. Some which remain but investing in small amounts are beginning to increase the amount that they've been investing with the bank. On the land for development, we have already started negotiations. We are happy to say to the committee that the first account has been confirmed. It will be settled pretty soon. And we expect two more accounts may be settled before the end of this financial year. And on the balance sheet, we've already, some of the biggest non-performing loans are being settled, and we really hope that we'll have a major significant impact on the quality of our balance sheet moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Vincent. The last side of phase three is sustainability. Sustainability is guided by six strategic imperatives emanating from the corporate plan. Just go to the next slide. Okay, the first one is to implement development as core to the business. In terms of the Land Bank Act, that is the mandate of a land bank, and that has not been implemented. So that will assist with poverty relief, food security, rural development. So it's imperative that the Land Bank act on this. Secondly, it's to improve service delivery and stakeholder engagement. Basically, what the bank needs to do here, for example, is it's unacceptable that it takes 3 to 6 months to approve a loan. The bank is absolutely uncompetitive and it needs to improve its service delivery. Thirdly, it needs to maintain financial stability. To survive, the bank must ensure that it's got good cost-to-income ratio, increased revenue, reduced expenses, adhere to the PFMA requirements. Fourthly, what is of critical importance is to develop and enhance human capital. The vacant positions need to be filled. People need to be retained, developed, and the right people must be in the right job. Systems and technology, it is a bank, so it is imperative that the bank has adequate systems and that it can deliver and improve service quality to clients. The current systems are unacceptable. Lastly, it's on corporate governance and risk management, and just to ensure that all the controls are in place and there's report back to stakeholders. Okay, moving on to the financial results. This is basically an indication on the income statement of what has happened in the last 6 months and already of the plans that have been put in place. For example, the net interest income, you're looking at 321 million for 6 months compared to 508 million for the whole year last year. It's as a consequence of a net interest margin that has increased. But probably the best news on this income statement is the impairment of loans, which is actually not an impairment, it's a reversal of provisions previously made. And that's a direct consequence of what the team has done to follow up on unrecoverable loans. Non-interest income, there's very little fee income. If you compare the land bank to any commercial bank, commercial banks' non-interest income is a really substantial amount, but the land bank, it is very limited. The land bank doesn't charge their client fees. So it differs in that aspect from the business model used by the commercial banks. The number basically represents the 38 million loans that were previously written off out of the books and that has now been recovered. The fair value gains, that is just, and it's a loss unfortunately, that's just a function of the current economic environment where the country is in, the world is in. The land bank has got some investments and those investments have declined. And it's also got derivative instruments which is included in there. Moving on to the balance sheet, I'm not going to go through the whole balance sheet, I just want to point out a few numbers.
As Vincent mentioned, the cash in the bank is at a very alpha position. As at the end of September, it was nearly 2 billion. We've just heard it's now sitting at 2.6 billion, so it's even increased more than at that point in time. Of concern, probably the biggest concern, if you look at the balance sheet, is the declining loan book. Where, if you look at March 8, there were loans to the value of 14.1 billion net of the impairments, sitting now at 12.4 billion. So that is a trend that has been carrying on for a while, and it's one of the biggest challenges the bank face, that can be expanded. Equity retained earnings is sitting at a healthy 1.8 billion, and that excludes the government guarantee of 1.5 billion, which is on top of it, which is not captured in the balance sheet, but there's an additional guarantee. And then the last number I want to point out is just the funds under administration, which is mainly the Mestiza funds, and that has remained flat because the bank, between March and September, because the bank has stopped disbursing until proper controls and procedures are put in place to ensure that the irregularities that occurred previously does not happen again. And that's our presentation. I guess we would be welcome any questions. Thanks.
CEO or chairperson, is there any closing remarks?
Not at this point, Chair. I think we will take the questions now.
So, members, that's the presentation, and thank you very much, Timberland Bank. Can we, from where we are seated, be assisted in terms of time? Let me note hands. Like everybody. Mr. Pipi. Mr. Abrams. Mr. Mguni. Mr. Mare, Mantuli, and Dr. George. If members could avoid making presentations, that can help us a great deal, and be surgical and just go directly to the questions that you want to raise than making speeches. Please, let's cooperate in relation to that. Honourable Bitkri.
Thank you, Chairperson. The chair of the bank, when making his presentation, says they've found the turnaround strategy. We've heard of that for a long time, and we hope we have got to the end of being promised. We sincerely hope that is the case. My first question, Chairperson, is that the interim CEO made mention of 70% of management positions which are vacant. Why are these positions vacant? What is being done about these vacant positions? And what impact do these vacant positions have on the bank? The lady, when presented, made mention of fraud on Mafisa, which has been handed over to relevant authorities. Who are these relevant authorities? What does this fraud involve? Can we get a little bit of explanation as to what this fraud is? Chairperson, because of time, I've got some other questions, but it's going to take me time because the slides are not numbered and it's not easy to go back to them. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that, Honorable Petri. I hope you have inspired members that would follow you. Okay. Next is Honorable Abrams.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to thank the officials here for the report that they have given. Shubi Siyabonga Baba. Chair, there are a number of questions. I would first like to start off with some of those that are very, very relevant at this juncture. And that is firstly that the bank is in the process of foreclosing a number of loans. Now I've heard about your intentions with regard to LDFUs, but I'm particularly concerned about the very small people, those ordinary people who were land reform beneficiaries in some form or the other, LRED or whatever, who then in order to supplement the funds that were available went for land bank loans. And if these are going to be foreclosed, please give us details of how you intend doing it. Or whether there has been any interaction between yourselves and the department, which has other funds appropriated by the Treasury for some or other form of assistance, which can be utilized to help cushion the blow. Because the last thing we would like to see, as a portfolio committee, I'm sure, Chair, is to see our people who have put in their blood, sweat, and tears into their little projects, losing their farms. It's the last thing we would like to see. In short, what I'm asking for is whether you have worked out a rescue package for such people. Secondly, Chair, there's been another refrain. Sorry to say, I wrote a number of letters to the Land Bank prior to you taking over. The acting CEO did not even deem fit to respond to them. But there are many farmers, as you are aware, it's a seasonal income, who sometimes get a check for the sale of cattle at an auction or whatever. And there was an arrangement with the Land Bank that these funds could be paid in and again drawn as and when the need arises. It was a sort of a facility which really assisted farmers. That facility was summarily withdrawn without any notice being given to those people. It is something that is worrying farmers at the moment. And is there any chance that that sort of arrangement could again be arrived at? Chair, yes, the problems have been long time a coming, and that the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture had spoken out on this on numerous occasions. However, do you believe that the bankrupt estate that you have now inherited can, in terms of what you've put before us, really be turned around? Furthermore, if we are to carry out a developmental mandate, have you perhaps looked at the possibility of looking at the 1912 model when the Land Bank was originally created? Now, I don't have to go into how it operated at that time, but the loans to the farmers of that time were very soft loans. Interest rates were very soft. In fact, a first-timer would even get an allowance to carry on for 12 months. Shouldn't we do that for our developmental aims in order to achieve them? My colleague at the back has already asked a question about Mafisa, but I understand that there's now an agreement with Kula Enterprises. We're not officially aware of it, but we understand from, well, you know, you get a lot of news in the Farmers Weekly and the Landbouwweekblad that there is something like that. In what way is it going to be able to assist the people, those resources, Then, sir, the uncompetitiveness of the bank. Very true. Interest rates in certain instances are far higher than what the commercial banks charge. And therefore, it takes the angle out of the developmental mandate. If you are developmental, there must be some ways. Would you say that in order to make it more competitive and to carry out that developmental mandate, the state will have to make available more resources, financial resources? And whether you have had discussions, but most of you have been part of the Treasury, I still have a finger there, whether you have perhaps pressed that finger. Chair, these transactions that took place outside of the mandate of the bank, what is the total figure involved? And from your negotiations with the lenders involved, do you have hope that by September next year or by end of March 2010, you would get that total amount back? I take it, and I hope that the assets that are mortgaged, the value thereof, would be able to at least allow you to recoup those amounts. Chair, I think this will be the lot for the present. I've taken heed of your warning, and that's why I haven't made any comments, Chair. But later on, if there's a second round, I would love to take it on. Thank you.
Okay. Rabbi Mgul. Thanks, Chair. My first question is that, Chair, we know all TFIs, according to State SA, they only provide about 3% of their core business to HDIs. And the rest of the money, or rather 75% actually, of entrepreneurs, they get their loans from, or their finance from loan sharks and from family business. Now, if only 3% of TFIs, as the MCMP is one of the TFIs, or rather they only can help 3% of the population, why do you want the bank to compete, the commercial banks, if it's a differential bank? And how do you turn around that strategy, your general strategy? Are you going to see an improvement from these 3% of TFIs helping the needy instead of them going to the loan sharks? My second question, Chair, is on medical aid, on page, I think it was on page 73 of your report, that most of the medical aid funds for the ex-employees and the employees is invested in equities. It seems like 100% in equities, in shares, resource shares, financial shares, stuff like that. Now, in this financial turmoil, how much is going to be lost or wiped out due to this financial crisis, credit crunch and stuff like that, economic meltdown? Those are the questions. I'll leave the other comments there. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Mguni, Honorable Mare.
Chairperson, can I just, maybe before I start, just make sure, do we have to ask all our questions now, or will there be a second round?
Well, it depends on your level of cooperation. If you don't make speeches and so on, and we'll have more time, basically, to deal with a number of questions.
No, because the trend has been set by, I think, 5 or 6 questions that we can ask.
I'll be quite pleased if we stick to a maximum of 3.
Okay, but then there must be a second round.
With the hope that there will be a second round.
Thank you very much.
No guarantees from the side.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think it was quite a good one, and it's obviously very encouraging. But obviously that is what we would be expected from you anyway to come up with. In terms of the turnaround strategy, obviously time will tell whether that is going to be successful this time around, and whether the faith that you want us to put into Land Bank in terms of the strategy, you know, will be earned, because it's not something that you can get any other way by earning that. You know, the current results is obviously not only a huge disappointment, but an embarrassment as well. So obviously things must be done differently. And in my opinion, one of the best things that could have happened is the relationship between Land Bank and National Treasury. And hopefully that will give a better oversight. In terms of the three questions in the first round, can you just reconfirm what will happen with the outcomes and recommendations in the Auditor General report, and specifically the individuals that was implicated there? What will happen to them from board level right through to ordinary staff member? What will happen there? Secondly, maybe from Treasury side, is there any other investigations that will be launched that you plan to do, or that the Treasury plan to do in conjunction with you? And if so, you know, what will be the purpose and the objective of that? And then the third one, maybe if you can just explain to us in the future the relationship between Treasury and Land Bank, in terms of corporate governance principles and in terms of acceptable management practices and applications, and then specifically in terms of risk management and then loan policies as well. Thank you very much, sir.
Mantule?
Thank you, Chairperson. Ngiyabonga, sir. Because of time, I'll have to cut other questions out. But I'm interested in the very first line of the very first slide, where you say you have there's limited progress on development objectives. And immediately after reading that, I thought, oh, there's no progress on development objectives. So the bank has moved away from its mandate of development. And for them to be sustainable, they moved out of the mandate and did other things. Because you continue to say the failure was contributed by the organizational structures that were lacking accountability. Now, if you can just clarify that statement for us so that we understand exactly what you are saying, it will help us all if we know that why the movement away from the development objectives and what organizational structures contributed to a lack of accountability. That will help me in particular as a laywoman. Now, you also indicated that the Land Bank could not compete with the bank. And you realized this, I think, 7 years back. You said you are dealing with the legacy issues here. Now, having realized that the land bank is no longer dealing with development issues, but you continued, the land bank continued to work in that fashion until now. Why? Why was it not rectified? Because this was not the same when the land bank was incepted. I don't know whether we can get clarity on when did this wrongdoing start. I don't know. Maybe if you can clarify us there, tell us about that again. Where did we go wrong? You continue to say staff at the land bank ignores the policies that were there. Can you clarify this? Which staff are you talking about? Is it the staff that was there before, or this staff in front of us, or other people? Just clarify us and what has been done about that. I'll try to skip other things. How long will the cleanup take? Do you have strategies in place? I'm saying this because every successful institution depends on a team. Now, I can see you as a team here. When you sit up here, you look like a team. My worry is, your branches in the provinces, your provincial structures, all your support team down there, is there a guide? Do you have a monitoring system? Other institutions that you are working with, how are these branches going to work together with you on this turnaround strategy? Local government.
Manjit, is it possible that we can have more time for responses to the questions?
This is just the last one,
Jefferson. Okay.
I'll leave the
please.
Others. This should be the last one. Now, if you can just try to educate us, to make us feel that this turnaround strategy will work, we'll be very, very, very happy. Because if the strategy doesn't work, then the cleanup won't happen. Lastly, the BEE funding. There is a hundred million rand. What happened? Is it lost? Where is it? I'll come back with other questions, Sir President.
Dr. Jones?
Thank you, Chair. The derivative assets and liabilities on the balance sheet on the annual report make reference to the interest rate swaps, and the fair value is recorded. What assumptions were made about interest rates that informed these swap arrangements? And also, with the interest rate movements after March 2008, what is the bank's exposure at current market value? I note from the balance sheet as of the 30th of September that derivatives liabilities have fallen. And then an allied question is, does the bank have the necessary expertise to operate in the derivatives markets? And then the final question is, the insurance contract mechanism appears to be that the Land Bank Insurance Company assesses the risk, it then determines the premium, and then it enters into reinsurance contracts for some or all of the liabilities. The financials show, under the insurance contracts, that the present value of the policyholder's liabilities has fallen, together with the present value of the future premiums, which would make sense. But the present value of the future expenses has increased. So the question is the insurance book decreasing while the expenses are increasing? Thanks, Chair.
Malathala? Well, I'm sure it's not long that you've addressed the rally, so... CEO and the chairperson. Your mic, the first question is all fraud, Mafisa. Who are these relevant authorities? The first one is turnaround promises, and I know that the committee has heard about this, and what is different now? What is different now or today is the presentation, the financial imperatives of what has happened in the past 3-4 months. That in a nutshell tells you that we have turned the corner. For us to have been able to reduce the cost to income from 85 to about 79, liquidity has improved, and investors, because they are beginning to see our financial story, they can see that the probability to default is much better. There are still more challenges that lie ahead. But again, we have been able to begin to collect more of our non-performing loans. That is why the story is like that. And in all fairness, if you bring it to the conclusion, it will show you that last year we made losses, but at least this year there's some form of money that will be generated. We wanted to end up with a chair, primarily to indicate that we are beginning to reap the benefits. We still have another 12, 14 months to work, but the tide of the ship is turning, and that's important. And I would like the committee to believe that we'll do those things, because the committee will know if we don't do so. We'll make sure quarterly, and we'll leave the dashboard once it's been approved by the Minister of Finance to the committee here. And they can ask us at any moment in time, and we are prepared to engage with you from time to time. That is what we're going to do. But we're saying we've turned the corner, and the numbers speak for themselves. The 70 position vacant. And why vacant? There was a time, up until 2 years back, it became very, very difficult to entice people to join the land bank. For obvious reasons. You know, the media coverage was not that great.
the sustainability of the institution was questionable. And every person, sometimes, some of the story was right, some of it was not right. Then people that had options opted to leave the bank, and the bank struggled to get the right people. What is being done? Now, I've already indicated that the structure, the organizational structure of the land bank is wrong, because it's not based on the strategy. It is informed by people. For example, if I'd been a CEO, whatever time, 5, 6 years, 7 years back or so, and I could easily, if there's an area that I needed someone to take over, this one's giving me problems, easy, you create another position and you get that person. So it's correlated. If you're looking purely at the structure, it becomes very difficult to arrive at a conclusion as to how we arrived at this. Unless if you know historically what had happened before that. Now, as people were leaving, we had that option of just getting people to come in. We said initially people are not coming, now they are willing. Or it was another option, which I thought personally was the best. And that is, you go to government institutions that have appropriate skills. You negotiate with them, they give you those skills. And you go out to the market, you get those skills that are necessary and that are required. You pay for them. You clean up the institution. You stabilize it. You have a turnaround strategy. You put it on the table. The board approves. The shareholder, if he approves, then you draw a structure around that. That is the easy way to deal with it, and that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing then.
Just an interjection, Jay, if you allow me. The ship is turning around, but watch out for the pirates.
I agree with you. Yeah. So that's the impact, of course. What has been the impact? The impact, it should have been costly, but to the extent that about 50 positions at Land Bank are vacant, we haven't felt that impact because there is cross-subsidization, and actually we have survived, you know. It would have, we have wasted money in getting people and employing people in a structure that is not aligned to the government policy. The second point is fraud on my visa. The relevant authorities. Let me start. It was presented by Delaney, but I will give you a snapshot. The Land Bank has 4 forensics during the past 2-4 years. The first one was the work that was done by Deloitte on the Land for Development Finance Unit. That is the mandate outside. I mean, the operations outside the mandate. The second one is IT. The staff at the Land Bank on IT did not do what was expected of them. They made certain decisions that were dubious. And unfortunately, after spending $140 million, as Vincent indicated, we have very little to show. The system is broken into 3. It's IT, HR, IT, financial, where procurement is, and IT banking. The other two are doing well, but the banking, we're using PeopleSoft currently because we're far behind. We've wasted quite a lot of money. Then investigation was done there. The third one was the Agri-BE. Agri-BE primarily came out from whistleblowing from staff and people from outside, and some went to the media. And there was a forensic on that. And the fourth one is Mafisa. Could I start with the first one, LDFU? LDFU, it went to cabinet, and it was presented by Minister of Agriculture. It came back, and agriculture, I mean, the cabinet said, no, initially they said we should, put this to the police or to the right authorities. But then they changed their view and they said the decision should be taken internally. That is, the Land Bank should take a decision. The Land Bank has since taken the decision on this. And the case is with police as we talk. And we have the case number for that.
if you need. So it's with the police. The second one, the IT. The IT project is with Scorpions, and they are working on that, and we have a case number. Then there's a third one. The third one is Agri-PE on whistleblowing. We brought in, the land bank brought in a company, a private company, to investigate. And after the first investigation, that private company felt that there was still a need for further probing. The information was leaked in the media, but they said, based on the information they had, there was still further investigation. There was a need for further still. There was a need for further investigation. We paid off that private company, okay, and it is investigating it. It now is working with the police. And they've indicated that they're close to concluding the deal. We have a case number for that. Then there's a fourth one on Mafisa. No, on, yes, sorry, it's Agri-PE. Yes. Then we have Mafisa. Mafisa, through the help from the Minister of Agriculture, who gave us all the files, we took the files and we gave it to the Scorpions. And as I'm talking to you, Chair, Scorpions have indicated that they will be in Limpopo on Monday issuing summons on all those people that are implicated. I wouldn't say on all, based on the information that we have on those people that are implicated. So, on all four forensics that have been undertaken at the land bank, we have taken them and we've given them to the right authorities. That's what Delaney was saying. But there are small cases that come at the land bank from time to time that do not fall under this forensic. And you get stories from time to time. We have resolved to employ a private investigator to run some of those that we think are important. The first part about the land bank is you cannot take each and every case because some of the things are hearsay and throw it with the police. The police already are overworked and they have challenges. So what we have resolved to do is to do our own private investigation, then take this to the police. So without any hesitation and any doubt, I can tell you that we're on top of all those cases. Mr. Abrams, you're asking the bank in process for foreclosing, what process do we undertake? That's a very important question because a number of people have raised it. There's a concern about small farmers and we fully agree. Before I can provide a full explanation on this, let me give the committee the financial position of the land bank. The land bank had equity about 4 or 5 years back of about 3.6 billion rand capital, that is cash and all other things. That was 5 or 6 years back, 5 years. All this time, that capital or equity has depreciated because of the issues that are well known here, of the events that have taken place. And unfortunately, it reached the low of 1.4 billion. Yeah, is it 1.3, 1.4 billion at the end of the financial year? But that is primarily because there is money that belongs to our insurance company of about 700 million. That is, the investments that we get from those people. That's not the money actuarial that can be used. That leaves the land bank. So it leaves the land bank with about 800 million equity. You take away the 700 million that we got from government as a cash injection. It leaves land bank with 100 million. Now, here is the biggest challenge. We have total debts of 12 billion rand. And the land bank trades at about 150 basis points, 1.5% above government. So to service that debt annually, how much do you need? You need 215 million, 300 million or so. The bank does not have money. It's just as simple as that. We need to try to go to each and every door and knock and try to get the money. Because if we don't, we are not going to be able to service the debt. Understanding that and noting the challenges that are facing people that are there, we have communicated to the treasury. We are requesting them to come in and assist. We don't know whether they will assist us. But the process then is that for each and every person, unfortunately, that has some form of loan at the land bank, we need to get that money back. Otherwise, we are not going to move. And if government doesn't make the commitment or come and help us, what happened in the past 3-4 months will happen again. That is when you begin to see investors withdrawing their money. Now, the process. Initially, when a farmer or a client does not service the debt, we start the process, an engagement process, where we negotiate. This is a situation, how can we help you? We do that, and we have records of all those farmers. That can take time. Can take quite a lot of time. Sometimes it takes 2 years, a year or so of engagement. Normally, we will try to extend the maturity, restructure the interest, but sometimes it fails. Then we go to the second level, and that is, if you have failed and we have given you this and this, what else can happen? But you reach a stage where we can't help. And unfortunately, because of the PFMA Section 54, we are compelled to raise all the revenues that belong to government. Then you have those challenges that you need to raise. But firstly, it goes to the legal. And on legal, we try. Sometimes we'll have a reference price where we'll try to resuscitate and get the loans back. Let me make an example. In our books now, on the properties that are in the book of the land bank as we talk, there are 26 properties. Let me just run through this. Out of that 26 properties, sorry Chair, I'll come in now. We have 26 properties, that is PIPs, properties in possession. Out of those, we are trying by all means possible to ensure that they get into the historically disadvantaged people. Out of those 26, 7 are going to development. Development, 7. And land claims is 7. And Department of Land Affairs is 6. Yard comes in with 3. And there's no offer on 1. Commercial is only on 2. I'm just trying to highlight that we do try to provide our investors or to maintain the government policy. But secondly, and in our records again, there is an interaction between us and the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs. It's not where it's supposed to be. Because before we can go for an auction, we notify the department. We start with the Department of Land Affairs with the DG, and we indicated the record as to when they were informed, which lands they were informed on. But if it becomes an auction, it becomes very difficult to say, you cannot take this piece because it's an open market. But we have agreed with Department of Land Affairs and Agriculture that we're going to work on this to see how we manage it. But that deals with the policy. The issue that has been asked here is how do we deal with farmers that are struggling? I've already indicated that we don't close the door immediately. But because of the financial dire situation of the land bank, it's going to take time. The only way the government will be able to treat people differently and ignore the PFMA provisions, at least for the time being, or come up with a plan, is when the shareholder, the government itself, is prepared to come to the party. And unfortunately, out of the total income that we have, it's only 700 million that we got from government. The rest we borrow. And if the market moves, we have to service that debt. And unfortunately, the environment on credit is such that investors are weary, and we have to maintain our balance sheet in a manner that ensures that we are continuously going to service those debts.
Chair, I'm coming. Yeah. We can talk about the clothing of very small people. Like I've already indicated, there must be some kind of a strategy between us and Department of Land Affairs and Agriculture. And we're willing, we're going to talk about that. It's just the two ditches were gone. We meant to meet this week, and we have already met, because it also concerns us. Maybe as we meet and we decide the direction going forward, we'll be able to come up with a strategy. We had a strategy, but it was failing in delivery. Land Affairs before, it informs Department of Agriculture, but it goes to provinces, and there's a deputy. The DG of Land Affairs felt that maybe it should be elevated at the DG level so that we manage that. The important story I'm trying to put across here is that we are working into this, and we don't like what is happening. The rescue package, unfortunately, is something that we look into as we move forward. The seasonal income, the facility on the overdraft, is a cause for concern. The chair can talk about the farmer who had a problem because his property was nearly dispossessed because we were struggling to pay due to this agreement that was signed by the previous, GM of the land bank. We are looking into that. It has legal implications, but we are looking into that. We see its importance. The problem is that the argument put forth is that the land bank is not allowed legally, is not a deposit taker. But to the extent that these people are using that money for farming, then it's treated differently. But we are looking to that as a facility that is required. Do I believe that institutions sustainable has spoken about that on the turnaround strategy? Yes. I just want to highlight one thing. Yes, you just picture. The turnaround strategy is not new. All those things that are proposed here have been all around in everything. What we didn't put here was our own new turnaround strategy. It's exactly the same thing. The problems with the land bank are exactly the same, time in, time out. Lack of getting the right people, the risk management, the control systems, the IT systems, development and mandate. 5 years, if we don't turn it around, we'll be exactly in the same place where we are now. But we are willing. We're willing to request this committee to have confidence in us because, as I've already indicated, you have to judge us and you tell us if we don't go wrong, if we go wrong, and if we are failing. And the first 3-4 months are encouraging us, and they do indicate that we're in the right trajectory. Have we looked at how loans were done in 1912? Yes. The only thing is government was putting money in, so which means the risk was much better, Mr. Ibrahim. Now we are borrowing. Maybe we should do, government could consider something very close to DBSA, where DBSA was given a fund, I think it was $4 billion. Then there is a guarantee that is held by government, a callable guarantee of another $4 billion, which allows their balance sheet to be much better. We unfortunately do not have that. But if we are to concentrate on development and we achieve development in a manner and the way it should be, the government, we will request government to assist us. But Treasury has indicated that if projects are put on the table, they do make economic sense. They have a financial viability strategy. There are risk mitigating strategies. And they have an impact on growth and development. They are willing to look into that. The detailed analysis of this is that we have defined development, we have quantified it, we are going to monitor it, and we want to go with the experts all the way. And we hope that maybe Treasury, as they reassess, it will be a first door. It will be a first open door for us, where we will interact and they'll be more willing maybe to come in into the party. There's a story on Kula. Yes, there is a story on Kula. And the Minister of Agriculture is here. It's primarily because we have a land bank very slow.
in interacting with the Department of Agriculture in agreeing that from the land bank perspective, we're in the position to dispose or to disperse the finances because of the previous challenges that we had at the land bank, the control systems. But once we're working with the land affairs, initially I think there were about 9 issues that were outstanding. Currently there is 1. We're still going to work on that. But we have to ensure that the controls are operational. Oh, yes, uncompetitiveness of the bank, it takes development out. Should we state, okay, it takes development out. Should the state make more resources? We have spoken about that. And we think, of course, we have to create our own niche market because DFI are supposed in nature to go where there's a market failure. Unfortunately, it's the other way around at the land bank. That is why we are facing that competition that we have already explained. Total figure of LGFU, loan for development, is about 506.
It's close to 596 million. That's including that's the amount that's owing at the moment. Yeah, 590 more or less.
Those involved, do we have hope that we'll get the money back? We immediately engage with them. There's been thorough interaction, and we keep them abreast of time of the development. Week in, week out, we're dealing with LDFU, and as we have already indicated, that 3 transactions we hope will be concluded by the end of this year, and others will be coming next year. It's promising. The story is very much promising. But again, you see, the market is under tight environment. And there were instances where some of these guys were willing to come with their partners and buy out the land bank. But because of the challenges that the land bank was facing, maybe it did not take such opportunities. Now we're going there and we're spearheading. We formed a team that is running around that. And I think the probability of succeeding is very great, hence the 75% that Vincent showed. Mr. Mgun, DFI provides 3% to development. Why should banks compete with banks? You see, this 3%, you are right. I fully agree with you. But it's not just the officials that have created this environment. It's not the shareholder ministries. But it's also committees like this. We have allowed these institutions to come year in, year out without questioning as to whether are they into development. And we have afforded them the opportunity to hide behind the numbers and risk. Should have been done totally different. That is why the DFI review report that was done by Treasury on behalf of Cabinet indicated. Land Bank from 1994 have never, ever looked at development. And this is not something new. When the then president, Mr. Mandela, put in the Strauss report in 1997, it was precisely because of that we are leaving people in rural areas in very extreme situations, and we have institutions that are supposed to do that, and we are not forcing them to do it. And that Strauss report achieved only one thing. It created the foundation legislation-wise. It created the Land Bank Act. What have we done for the Land Bank Act? Nothing! So we all have to be accused for having turned a blind eye on this. And I've been at Treasury for 12 years, and there was a time that we never cared whether we never followed the Land Bank on development. It was just sustainability. And all other departments. I think it's a wake-up to all of us to begin to know the mandate and the people in South Africa, what exactly do they need. And in all fairness, everyone talks about food security now. The institution that should be leading the discussion, which is a land bank, is sitting on the sideways, watching the game we should be playing or refereeing. The medical aid finance.
Thank you. The medical aid fund is managed by independent asset manager. So So they are exposed to equities. I'm not 100% sure at this point in time what the decrease will be, but clearly because equity markets have decreased, that fund will decrease, and it's partly shown in the fair value gains number in the income statement, which has a loss. So that's part of it.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Mr. Murray, I think I fully agree with you. Time will tell. And you have sat for so long, listened to the land bank with different promises, most probably. You better judge us by the end of the next fiscal year. If we are wrong, then this committee will come and apologize. I can tell you without any doubt that you are on the right trajectory, that when the financial period comes in, we'll be in a much far better position. We might still have qualification because there's still a lot of things that are coming in, but it'll be a far better story because we have committed ourselves. We want to account each and every one of us to those things that we said should be achieved. A good relationship with Treasury is not just a good relationship with Treasury. It's a good relationship with all the stakeholders, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Land Affairs, and we're building on that, and we have had a lot of cooperation with those. And the outcomes of Auditor General, actually, is why she's here. The Auditor General highlighted all those things that should be dealt with. Could you go quickly without going in and explaining? Go to the cleanup? No, to the cleanup. Please. Continue. Yes, all these things here. That's a summarized audit report. Now, we might find things, which is closer to your next question. Are we ever going to launch a new forensic? If there are things that we pick up here, of course they will demand that. But I've already indicated that we are getting an independent person to help us with from time to time when there's a story that we feel is worth our while to look into on the forensic. So yes, that's a commitment. Maybe end of March is too close, we might not have finished because, Lester, it works like this. The first thing we need to deal with the qualification. That was 5 pages? Huh? Then matters of emphasis, it was what, 7 pages? That's audit report. Then you have a management letter, 194 pages. Then you have an internal audit report of 170 pages. Then you have SCOPA resolutions that we have to deal with. Then we have conditions by government, the requirements that we put forth by this committee. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mr. Murray. Yeah, the conditions that we put forth by these committees. We haven't arrived at solving them now because we started only in September, full swing. But we are working on it, and the presentation that Delaney provided indicated those are all the things we have to do. And we hope that by end of September we'll have completed that. The relationship between Treasury and Land Bank on corporate governance and risk, etc. There's an ALM division at the Land National Treasury, an institution I know very well because I've been there. It's an institution that has risk management. They have come in and they're looking at the measures and what we are doing. The team with financial oversight, which is asset management, we've engaged them, we've put the book in there, and we're talking. It's a team that talks about the liability. We're sharing ideas on the risk mitigating factors, how are we going to manage that. So there is a close relationship. But again, it's a close relationship we have with the Department of Agriculture, purely on the policy and the challenges that are facing us in agriculture, and how can we ensure that our synergies are run together. Okay. I hear that the scope starts at 11. Chair, I'm not sure whether you can help us in informing them that we'll be coming a bit late. Okay. Mr. Sundor, there is a limited progress on development. And why has the bank been allowed to move away from development? I've tried to explain that. It's primarily because the government and its all instruments did not ensure that after promulgating the Act, the DFIs follow what they were meant to achieve. It's not just officials, as I've already indicated, the board, the shareholders, it's all of us combined. You then ask us to clarify how the failure was due to organizational structure. I will explain that because we're not following the mandate, that is, we did not have the appropriate strategy. We appointed on the wrong strategy, if there was anything like a strategy. And accordingly, we grew not in direction that should have, that we should have in line with the strategy or the mandate provided. We didn't do so. I've indicated that, we have indicated that out of the total loans that we have made, is only 4% that goes to development. But if you are looking at the Land Bank Act of 2002, 95%, 96% of it talks about development. So it's a huge mismatch between those two. RB can't compete with banks. This was realized 6 years back. It's still exactly the same thing. When we saw that we should have moved as different organs of the government. It was allowed to work up until now. That is when we're engaging. And there's been a lot of pressure at the Land Bank from this committee that we have to change our position. And the letter, Mr. Moshalofa, that you wrote, that we have to emphasize the turnaround strategy. That is what we are trying to do. At least there's ownership. And you are putting us under pressure, and we appreciate that. The staff ignoring policies at the Land Bank, which staff? The majority of those people were out, now have left. But we might still have people, because the individuals were made more powerful. And if you had a certain policy, let's say a credit policy, and you have a head who says, no, this credit policy doesn't work anymore, he takes it away, then he says, this is a structure from now on, how are we going to operate? As a junior guy in a corner there, you don't have any power. But we need to deal with those people that took such policies and understand the reasons behind that. How long will cleanup take? We have already indicated that the cleanup takes us up until the end of September. We hope by then, in stabilization, everything will have been done. But because we're picking up new things as we go forward, it might drag a bit longer, but that's the intention. Do we have strategies in place to deal with this cleanup? What if it doesn't work? We have. We have already indicated. Branches. Do they have the guide? Yes. We've been spending time visiting the branches, talking to them. And actually, this turnaround strategy was not imposed from the top. It started from there because that's where, that's our base. That's where we make money. It's not the headquarters. So they have been directly involved. Yes, we have challenges. We have problems. But what we're going to do, what we resolve is, once all this is done and finished, we then will need to look at the structure of the Land Bank, the head office, and the relationship it has with the branches, and see what is the best case scenario in ensuring all these things are synchronized. The monitoring system, we are putting the monitoring system. We have said that just on this, we have a monitoring system, but we also have a monitoring system on the performance going forward, on the development, and that will not be operational. That will go up to a level of the board, where the board will be able to see whether we adhere to the conditions set forth. How the turnaround will this time work, I've already explained. Yes. Agri-BE, Vincent? Agri-BE what? I've explained the forensics that are going on with that regard. And Dr. George was asking what the swaps, what informed the swaps, and what is exposure currently. Does the bank have expertise?
Maybe starting with the second one. Yes, the bank has expertise to both private instruments. We have system capabilities to value, to price derivative instruments. We have individuals who can use those systems. So we give the committee assurance that yes, we do have those skills, they are in place. The second one is assumptions made to enter into swaps. Most of the time, swaps are entered into to hedge or to immunize the bank from movement in interest rates. So most of our swaps in our books are for that purpose. The second reason why we enter into swap is for policy. The bank has clear policies that it has put in place to, if I can have an example, to maintain maybe a certain percentage of fixed to floating liabilities or assets. So whenever at times there is a need to adhere to those particular policies and the parameters set out in those policies, derivative transactions do get entered into. Having said this, I should emphasize that the bank's book is comprised of derivatives and are also underlying liabilities. And most of the time what happens is if a derivative or a liability or derivative is hedging in senior loss, they complement one another. When one is in loss, the other one is in the money. And most of the time, I can say until now, the bank's charter portfolio of both derivatives, other liabilities, and other assets has been in the money. We can report to committee to that effect.
See you. Okay, thank you. I can take that one. The reinsurance, Albeck. I think the question that we asked, before you go, Ms. Mtimwe, I'd like to highlight this. Yes, Dr. Jack, you are right in a way that the book is declining while the expenses have been picking up a bit. That primarily has to do with the average age of the people, the clients of Albeck, the age. You know, the average age, I think, is about 57 or so.
Yeah.
Okay, you're coming there. Now, that's the first thing that you look into. I've already spoken about the decline of the loan book. So you see that that in itself has consequences on the balance sheet. But the land bank has decided to move this thing forward a bit. And that is, we need to review the whole Albeck and try to attract a new client. But over and above that, we need to produce new products so that we can begin to build our book. There are products such as crop insurance, for example. We are looking into that, and that, of course, will then stimulate other activities of Albeck, because it means in under current circumstances, so long as the book declines, Albeck will cease to exist at some stage. So we need to define a new term. And since 1954, Albeck's mandate and strategy has never been changed when it was established. Still relies on land bank clients. But now you are competing with banks. If a person goes to the bank and the bank provides the whole package, and they take it and they move out from land bank, from Albeck. But the board has since approved that we review the business opportunities of Albeck.
Minister? Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to thank the board and the management. They have worked very hard. I think since the board was appointed last year, we started working on the strategic plan, and also the management in coming out with the plan. I want just to add to what the CEO was saying, that in fact the vacancy, 27%, and including the 70% at management, when we came into the bank, there was a lot of corruption. I think most of the people who left were involved in that corruption, including some board members, including top management of the board of the bank. And I think a lot has been done. Most of those people left because they were suspended, because there were cases and they were found guilty. And now some of them have been involved in dismissing the name of the bank. But I think now that we have new management, there is a lot of coordination of the programs and progress, and I want to say that the programs that are challenges, the files that are being repossessed, the Department of Land Affairs and Department of Agriculture will do what they can, working with the CEO and the management, to assist those farmers. Of course, we also have a limited budget. However, we are talking to ensure that we assist the farmers as much as far as we can go. In terms of the FIFA fraud, yes, the scorpions have worked on this case and the police are continuing their investigations that involve the land bank offices in Limpopo in particular. And I want to say to the CEO, the challenge is transformation is not taking place at provincial level. And so there are major challenges at that level, and I think a management of the board will have to look at that as a matter of urgency. I also want to say that there's been a cleanup 80-90%, but there's still a lot of challenge that has to be done in that regard. The investigations on the Agri-BEE are continuing with the police. We have done our own investigations in the Department of Agriculture, also the land bank management, and we have suspended the DDG, who is responsible for Agri-BEE, and the hearing will be held at the end of November this year. But I also want to say that as we are saying, as the CEO is saying, at all levels we must take responsibility. I think also our auditors, Deloitte and Touche, who are there for 5 years, must take responsibility. The new whistleblower that we had until Deloitte and Touche came in and produced a tax report that revealed that hundreds of millions of rands were used, despite the fact that we have three legal opinions given to the land bank that said they cannot use that money for golf estates and other developments. I also want to raise an issue that is the media. The AmaZulu Football Club of Ushugela, I specifically asked the Martin Touche, as the auditors of the law bank, pointing to this issue. I have never found an answer or a report in that regard. Right now, land under claim was bought by the bank under Ushugela. The Minister of Land Affairs must now pay the law bank for land that was under claim that was bought by Ushugela. And those are the questions that we are asking. What happened and why? And at the end of the day, it's black, poor, emerging farmers in KwaZulu-Natal who must suffer when these properties have to be repossessed. So I just wanted to raise those issues and say that it is true that Cabinet took a resolution on the forensic audit that we take it to the police on the 7th of November 2007. I took the report to the Scorpions and to the police on the 9th of November 2007. On the 1st of December, Cabinet said, let's withdraw and deal with it internally. And then I handed it over to the Land Bank Board, who will sought legal opinion, and I think are dealing with the matter now with the police. So I think also just to add that the CORA is also meant to assist and ensure that there is more access for black farmers. We're also working with Itala, Uzoba, I think MADC is the development corporation in Mpumalanga. But I just want to say that I hope finally that we have come out with a development plan and strategy. We will be able to take the bank forward and agriculture in particular particularly the developing farmers, with the land bank, the Department of Land Affairs, and the Department of Agriculture. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Minister. CEO, if we can have a copy of your development plan, that could greatly assist, as well as your turnaround strategy. That will assist a great deal. We wish you all the luck. The problems that you picked up, I think, on our side as a committee, have been raising them, and it's quite refreshing that there is an honest reflection on your part about the situation in the bank, openness and frankness about the challenges that you face. And I think, you know, on our side, you can count on our support in terms of assisting the bank to turn it around. But I think, you know, as one member has indicated, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Affairs have been interacting with the bank around the turnaround strategy. When I joined the bank, I mean the Portfolio Committee last year, my first meeting was the Land Bank. and we're dealing with the turnaround strategy. And you could see that there have been so many turnaround strategies, to the extent that you would not even know which direction was the bank facing. And now the issue of development, I think it's coming out quite prominently in your presentation and appreciation of the mandate of the bank, and that's quite satisfying for us, because there's been a concern since we started, you know, interacting with the bank. Part of the stabilization of the bank should be to deal with these transitional arrangements. I'm not sure if the chairperson of the board is still acting or is confirmed as the chairperson. We need to deal with that particular question.
Still acting.
We need to deal with that. We have got an acting CEO. We need to deal with that. Because, you see, come tomorrow, there will be a new chairperson, there will be a new CEO, who will come here and tell us about the turnaround strategy. You see. And each time there is an acting this and an acting that, and someone new is appointed, an assumption is made that people who were there before did not do anything. So, why is it refreshing to listen to you? Next year we may be dealing with, you know, new bodies altogether. And I think it's an important issue that we need to deal with, that we need some kind of certainty in terms of the leadership of the bank, so that we know when we deal with you, we'd have confidence that things that we raise, the issues that we raise, would be followed up, issues that you raise as well. You've got authority in terms of going forward, how the implementation thereof would be undertaken. But if, you know, you have this transitional arrangement, it's a problem. Already in the report that we're busy dealing with now, I mean, you've had four CEOs. That's not a good picture. For a bank, and it creates a lot of uncertainty, even in terms of the plans that you have. So, Minister, I think it's a point that has got to be, it may not rest with the colleagues from the land bank who are here, but I think it's a matter that has got to be dealt with, and we have to raise it with the Minister of Finance as well, to deal with the acting arrangements. In fact, we're saying to the Department of Land Affairs and Agriculture that, you see, in our portfolio committee, we don't have people who go to watch movies. So
we don't want actors in front of us. The Hollywood arrangement has got to be dealt with. So without any waste of time, Chairperson, you want to?
Yes, I would just like to assist. We are actually addressing some of the issues that you have raised. First of all, I would like to say that we are going to have interviews with regard to the CEO's position this coming week, and then that issue will be resolved. And in terms of the board, although I'm acting, the rest of the board and myself in my capacity as deputy chair will be there, so there is some consistency. And I would also like to say that the board is really very committed and working very hard to help and assist the bank. So some of what you say, of course, is true, but we are dealing with it.
Okay. And the even issue that Malatlala raised about the legislative lacuna, I think it's important that we relook at the bill, the Act, the Land Bank Act, and properly locate the role of the minister vis-à-vis that of the board and so on. And I'm sure even the issue that you are raising, Chair, about the CEO and so on, there's a problem that is created by the law itself, you know, which I think has got to be dealt with. So good luck in your conversation with the SCOPA. Most of our members who've got time, they can, join SCOPA when they have a conversation with the team from the Land Bank. So without any waste of time, thank you very much, and good luck.